How can we as a community harness what you've learned about control and confidence and give it to the entire community? I know it's a loaded question.
Now, you know, what I've learned through an accumulation of different experiences, trainings from Oakland to St. Louis, you know, like I have to give, you know, all praise due to Allah and all credit to, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam, particularly the Fruit of Islam training, you understand me? And that training is the training of the military side of the Nation of Islam, rearing young black men, teaching them how to be men, how to move with discipline, order, right? And I think that the fear and the propaganda that has been spread against the Nation of Islam that makes black men and women not tap into them brothers who's literally over there training you, you understand me? Where a brother come in there dusty and they leave out shiny and give you that vibration. Like, we have to first eliminate the fear to go and accept our own and be ourselves. Like, there's no easy way around the fact that you have people that come in your community, they've been giving you media for the last 60 plus years, you understand, 90 years. They've been giving you knowledge, they've been giving you example, they're raising families right there in those environments. And you're afraid to tap in with them. Like, if you can go to different parts of LA, New York, Chicago, ask the gang members around there, you understand me, who done helped them settle differences and conflicts? Who the brothers that come in there that's not afraid of those environments, right? That's on the back end, that's not doing it for press, not doing it for media, right? Where those environments that have been consistent to where you can go in any Sunday, you understand me, and you can go hear a word and the brothers will help you out in the spirit of brotherhood. The sisters will help you out in the spirit of sisterhood. Like, I don't know a better place. So first I will say, you have to go to NY.org, go to the Nation of Islam. Brothers and sisters have been doing it so long that they are experts in the resurrection of our people.
Okay.
Right? Like, once you get that knowledge, that changes who you are, because now you know who you are. And then beyond that, though, you're talking about, you know, having, and so this is where I feel like when we talk about billionaires, right? Yeah. Because if we really look at the communities, like, how, like, why don't we see what Marcus Garvey did with his chapters? Why don't we see what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did with his mosque and temples, right? Because if you want to start something, just start it. If you have billions of dollars, then that means that you can start buying up real estate right now and create those training grounds by literally going inside the communities, like my brother New Era Detroit. New Era have chapters around America in like the worst parts of the hood where they do training, particularly like this, financial training, protective training, in the environments and things of that nature. So like, if I got that billion, I'm gonna go to the environment where people are already doing it, give them that funding so that they can maximize on what they've already been doing. Because you got to go to people who already got the spirit first.
Yeah.
You understand me? Like, empowering nonprofit organizations that taking a 10 cent from every dollar that they getting, you understand me, and putting it towards the cause don't move the needle.
If, what about the one person on YouTube who's like, you want Kanye to team up with the Nation to help black people when he can then lose everything? To that you say what? Because you know they're going to say it.
What's the point of having everything if you do nothing?
Yeah.
What's, and I don't want Kanye to do anything. You understand me? I think that it's never on one man, ever. I think the most dangerous thing is that when you point to one man to be like, it's your problem.
Yeah.
You understand me? Solve this.
Yeah.
Hell no. I think that, you know, Kanye West has done a lot of good for black people.
Absolutely. And doesn't get enough credit for it.
A lot.
Yeah.
In his music, and his representation, and his influence. You understand me? Like, I appreciate Kanye West and his platform as a black man. I was always taught, do not criticize black. So I'm not here to criticize Kanye. I'm not here to criticize none of that, because we have enough of that in the media as it exists. Kanye West, I appreciate you and your platform.
Absolutely.
Story over. When we talk about possibility of what already exists based on the resources, based on the institutions that are forming and what they need, it's just resources.
Yeah.
So having a list of what needs to be resourced, what needs to be funded, and collective, because collectively, we have way more money than Kanye West, right? Collectively, we have more money than Jay-Z. Collectively, we have more money than Robert Smith.
Yeah.
So collectively, there's nothing stopping us from having a DAO to where we're pouring billions of dollars in and then voting on what we want to do with that money. Mm-hmm. And to me, the collective operation means that we have to now put responsibility on everyone, yeah. not Kanye West.
Not just one person.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what a person wants to do with the money that they've accumulated over time, I actually have no say-so on that whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I've never become a person that pocket watches.
Yeah.
You understand me? That sucker. So at the end of the day, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the collective,
yeah.
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And there's technology that says that, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the one who had the economic blueprint and gave a breakdown of a person, everybody putting in 10 cents a week. You understand me? And how much that generates over time and how much we can solve all our collective problems.
Why do you think someone hasn't put that in place?
It's been blocked a few times. You understand me?
Yeah.
And I think that we like talking about change than we actually like changing. So I think that now we in a position where we understand branding, marketing, psychology, mm-hmm. you understand me, society, technology, and we have more people with more platforms and more media and more operations
yeah.
to where it's much more possible now.
Yeah.
Because I think that even if somebody wants to shut it down, we can bring in the most brilliant minds that work for us against whoever that doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we seeing it happen in real time right now. Look, and like, okay, maybe the Bored Ape doesn't have a social impact cause connected to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody wants to stop them, it'll be blatant that somebody wants to stop
Absolutely.
Them. Right? Because it's transparent. So yeah. somebody literally has to go in and find a way to corrupt the system that they've built.
Mm-hmm.
So once we build something, let's say it's a $1 billion operation, we have transparency, we have checks and balances on what we build, it's going to be much easier now to identify a threat and a target against what we build.
Mm.
And let's say it falls down. So what? What do we do next? And what do we have to do with the rest of our lives?
Yeah.
Keep rebuilding until it's built.
Yeah.
Until it's sustained and protected.
So do you think DAO, crypto, and Web3 is like the great economic liberation tools of the next 50 years for us?
Yeah, and that's a part of it because, you know, I think that if you had asked me that 50 years ago, I don't know what the hell you said.
Yeah.
Right? And if you ask me 50 years later, there's probably going to be even greater tools that we can use.
Yeah.
The idea of it more so is that technology, right, allows us to have much better economic liberation tools than we've ever had, and we're not appreciating or using available to us.
Yeah.
You understand?
How do we get people to use them, though? Because people say it's too complicated. Like, for me with stocks, I don't know. And I'm like, you guys have figured out how to sell drugs on the internet and not get caught.
Yeah.
But buying shares on Robinhood is too tough.
Yeah.
So how do we cut the excuses down and get to the implementation a lot faster so we can get to the outcome that we want?
Well, when you look at the current statistics on it, right, they say it's 4% adoption around the planet, mm-hmm. you understand me, when it comes to crypto. Right now, the numbers have increased with the amount of women that have gotten crypto, mm-hmm. not just in the U.S., but also worldwide. And in some places, there are more women than there are men.
1 in 7 wallets are owned by women. There's not enough women in cryptocurrency. A lot of women talk about being independent, not depending on a man, or finding themselves in situations to where they are financially oppressed. But cryptocurrency allows women to be able to take the power in their own hands, to be able to utilize a simple skill set and start making money on a daily basis. You can be a mother, you can be a part-time employee, and you can still trade cryptocurrency by following the market and being part of a growing community. I don't want to see the next generation of women left behind because they didn't tap in and interact with this opportunity. That's why I created Infinite Wealth Strategies. It's infinite wealth, but you need a strategy in order to get you some. Make sure you tap in today, use promo code WOMAN, and take control of your future. It's waiting for you.
You got tech curiosity, crypto curiosity, NFT curiosity,
mm-hmm.
and you start to see those numbers increase. What is transitioning people over from being curious to actually being adopters? At first it was my friend got me on,
yeah.
right? Your friend gets you on because, hey, this coin balloon, this stock went up, I'm in this. Now it's education putting people on that's allowing them to transition and be in it longer,
mm-hmm.
right? So as much as, you know, people don't think of education as sexy, but yeah. education is the pathway, right? Like what we're doing literally is onboarding people
yeah.
to new tools of wealth that they yeah. can now go about start using.
And especially if women make it a requirement that you have to have crypto and stocks
yeah.
before you can even get to the date.
Yeah,
$200 a day, show that wallet.
Yeah,
King.
He ain't got no, crypto in his wallet, like at least one of the wallets. Yeah. You ain't got to see all the wallets, you feel me? But you can have a little trust wallet set up. Yeah, a little ledger.
Because women dictate everything in our culture. Yeah. Everything is hot. Like, so if we can harness, and I've always said women are better investors, better catalysts for change. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how can we empower them more to get to the end goal?
I think it's empowering the women who empower us other women, right? There are some sisters who reached out to me recently, and they were showing me that, you know, they have large circles of women that they're teaching about stocks and crypto and things of that nature. Now I have to sit down with them. Once they come to my view and I see what they got going on, it's my job to say, well, I have a larger platform.
Yeah.
Let me have a conversation with you to see how we can put on more women.
Yeah.
And I think that as long as we don't leave women isolated to do their own thing, you understand me? And they feel that connection between us. Because the worst thing that we can do is have a women's movement where it's just women. You understand me?
I agree.
That's the worst for us.
But tell them why.
Well, specifically for black culture.
Because absolutely.
Listen, anything of greatness that we're going to build out in the future is going to be done with black men and women working side by side.
Yeah.
We have to have a brother, sister, a husband, wife, you understand me? A partner, type of agreement and setup in our community.
Yeah.
Because the first thing they destroyed was our connection and relationship
absolutely.
With our women. So when they do it on their own, they feel like nobody helped them, right? So now they look at you like, well, we was doing this, y'all weren't helping us, this, that, and the third. By the time we meet up, we have completely different mindsets and agendas.
Yeah.
So now we can't even get in a relationship with each other.
Yeah.
This woman has empowered herself, now she's independent. You understand me? There's no interdependency at all in connection. The independent black woman and the dependent black man both go in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Because she's independent, so she can't depend on nobody.
Yeah.
You understand me? Or she won't depend on nobody, right? He is not independent, you know, he can't be depended on.
Yeah.
So she can't go to him, he can't go
to her.
Which
is created by design.
Created by design. Yeah. But if they're building and we help them build, we can say, look what we built together.
Yeah.
Right? Then both our ideas are intertwined in what's being built out. So there's no conflict of interest there.
Yeah.
Right? There's no, well, that was a woman's movement. And y'all did the man's thing over here because we don't have a man's movement, right?
True.
We don't have that where black men, white men, Asian men, brown men come together and be like, yo, what's going on with us men? At least I don't want to be a part of that. If there's something going on, that's some weirdo stuff, right? But that don't exist. But women have a movement outside of their color, right? So a black woman will be connected to women specifically just because they're women, right? I don't have connection with other men because they're men. Right?
Yeah.
That's the difference. So I'm not going to be celebrated for being a man just because I'm a man. Well, women will be like, listen, we will help you get funding. We love the fact that this is a women's business. You're teaching women, things of that nature. Yeah. Right? So the ones that I respect the most is like Queen of Four said, that it's not enough for a woman to be in power because she's a woman. She has to first know that she's a black woman.
Mm.
She has to be connected to her people. Right. And that's why when we draw back from the subject that Revolt wanted me to talk about, black women being empowered to date outside their races, you are not empowered when you date outside your race. Why would somebody pour that into your head that you have this beautiful black man and woman that can work together and build something, but it's more empowered to go outside of that?
Yeah.
That's literally somebody, literally, with an agenda to get you to hate your own self and kind.
Yeah.
When you can look across all across the planet Earth and see every single race of people who work together, create beautiful families. Yeah. You understand me? And they build
empires.
And
going back to the family being a business.
Yeah.
That's the number one reason. So when they moved the men out and women got preferential treatment in terms of housing and housing credit, it's a great business plan by design to be able to capitalize off of our dysfunction.
When it comes to, why do you think the culture doesn't see the value that it should have right now, right? And let's say, like, there's a lot of culture vultures out there, right? Ian Dunlap, based on what you put out, the value that you put out, right? The knowledge that you put out, the influence that you have, right? That's worth $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking to my bro, Keenan Beasley, we talk about evaluations. Evaluations, somebody that got a lot of money tell you what it's worth, right? But the reality of it, the intrinsic value of being able to move community and make that community money and have a presence, that's $1 billion. Nobody can tell me anything other than that.
Yeah.
Why don't you think either let me ask you, do you think that you are properly evaluated?
No. Or appreciated.
How do you evaluate yourself? Appreciated, huh?
No. Because if I was white, like I am what everyone thought Kathy Woods was. Mm. So if you look at Pure Return, what I've called, I've been watching CNBC since 2004. I pray and I thank God. I'm like, I've never seen anybody be this accurate. Mm. Time after time, month after, like, and across futures market, crypto, Forex, stocks, political change. Like yesterday it popped up, Truth Social was the number one trending app. I said on Market Mondays.
I watched your episode.
Yeah, I was like, listen, Elon probably is going to acquire, because they're friends, is probably going to acquire Truth. Now all of a sudden everyone's reporting. But no, I mean, it's worth trillions. If the United States of America cares about capital more than anything, and I've mastered the market like no other, then am I not the most valuable in terms of the capital market?
Especially
giving it out away for free.
So that's very interesting, right? Because, you know, I've always said that black influencers, thought leaders, educators are the most undervalued.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Completely. There's not even a system to give you proper evaluation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the amount of funding that goes towards black creators is terrible.
Yeah.
You understand me? But specifically, like, let's say somebody wants to hire you for a job. Mm-hmm. They're going to think about things in a bubble because they don't really understand the true value of how things are connected now.
Yeah.
That if I'm going to hire Ian Dunlap, I have to think about a certain budget. But you gonna think about it in connection to a rapper first, that I'm gonna pay this rapper a certain amount, and there's already a certain budget in your head associated with entertainment, right? Educational budgets, people don't understand yet because they are not looking at it as all media.
Yeah.
What the rapper do is they bring people and they capture attention.
Yeah.
Right? The difference is they don't give them value. Right?
Or empower them later, yeah.
Right, the empowerment of, and not value, because there's value in what an entertainer does, but value in the sense that they're going to have that knowledge and information and they can utilize that applicably and for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
That's different, right? Yeah. So how do you value that? To where this person is condensing the last 10, 20 years of knowledge that they have. Not only that, they're going to sell tickets.
Yeah.
They're going to bring influence, media. I have that brand connected to my
and
brand
trust.
Forever.
Value it the same way they would JP Morgan or Goldman. But it's not done because of skin color. Like, that's why I say, and I say to Chad, 85 South, like Charlamagne, most people don't appreciate or love being black enough to support black creations. If we did, we wouldn't operate the way that we do. Even in our culture, you know who would be the hottest interview for you? And I know you will never do it, but a lot of people have 4 views. Tekashi 6ix9ine. Instant 1.5 million views, 3 million views.
Yeah.
But based on it, and the media part, media was created to help control people and sell products for companies. I think almost the way everybody's doing media is wrong. Mm. Because like, how do you have media and no product attached to it when soap operas came from soap companies making content to then place their products in it or after it to sell product and commercials?
Yeah.
But they've trained us to be in front of camera, but not behind the scenes and really the deals. Like,
this episode is brought to you by Infinite Wealth Strategies.
The media part don't matter. The entertainment part, you know, like I know, like most entertainers are broke. So why do we push to be that?
I heard Chloe Bailey talking about the fact that, you know, they get robbed in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
They're only using the music as a commercial to sell product or, you know, to get certain looks on the back end. And again, why accept that?
Because you want the truth?
Always.
Because they're horrible fucking business people.
Mm.
Most artists are terrible business people. You want to create, like most entertainers or artists can't even produce, mix, and master. So you want to just come up with some lyric. May not have the brand or image together. You want them to promote, package, mix, master, have relationship with Spotify. On the business end, if I have to do that, I should get the lion's share too. Are you getting robbed or are you not equipped with the information to help catapult your own brand? No other business on earth can do that.
Right. No, I think they bring more to the table than they ever understand.
Absolutely.
You understand me? Because number one, like my brother Derek Grace always say, they need us, we don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody makes that their moniker and they go by that when they walk into every single room, then they'll understand their true value.
Yeah.
That's just it.
If my artists, please don't be mad, but focus on being a good business person first before you get to the music part. The music part matters the least.
So you're a rapper. Let's say you're a rapper,
yeah.
Right? And you are starting day one and you want to go in there and you want to become big, mm-hmm. right? You want your music listened and heard everywhere, right? And you have an extreme valuable skill.
Yeah.
Do you go independent? Do you go shop a deal? What's your route?
I'll do both.
Okay.
But the first thing is to build business first. It's always the foundation.
What you have kind no of leverage. Business?
I mean, real estate, stock, education, tech, whatever you'll put your time into.
You think an entertainer first should build a business before?
If not, what leverage do you have? If a person comes in here and say, I want $1.5 million for 3 albums, it's projected to make $40 million. If I give you the 1.5, I should get 38.5 out of 40. But if you have your own funds coming through, when mm-hmm. you go in, you can right. say, hey, if we need $20 million to make $150, I'll put up 10.3. Your negotiation is dramatically different. Dramatically different. And that's why every time I have a meeting, shout out to the good people at UTA, William Morris, they're like, we have to value you different because you're willing to put up your own capital. And you have relationships, and you'll fund media, and I came from advertising. So there's a few more things I bring to the table. I even hate when people say I'm talented. I'm like, no, I write checks. I'm an executive that's learned to be in front of mm-hmm. camera. But every rapper has to, and the ones we have, Jay-Z with Damon Biggs, Jeezy with BMF, Swisher House, rap a lot. The ones that were great business people before, they don't get jerked around like that.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that hope that, and it's not a label's response, a label is a hedge fund. I'm gonna give you 5% or 10% of this capital and I hope that I'll get 10X on it. If you don't, great, so be it.
Mm.
Every company operates as a hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
Who can I give capital to make right. the most off
and
of?
And they have to deploy capital.
Have to. Mm-hmm. And if you are not hot anymore, I loved you for those 4 years you were hot, great. But if you don't need the financing or the loan from a label, you can write your own ticket.
Mm.
But if I make you hot and I build your brand and I get all your placements and I pick production, and I put you with a songwriter, I should get the lion's share. But it goes back to that work ethic. Most don't want to work on being great at something and then monetize so you can't get fucked.
I agree. I think it's a harsh reality because, you know, I think a lot of artists only want to do one thing. I think a lot of artists mm-hmm. are lazy.
Mm-hmm.
They understand me. Instead of...
They were conditioned to be that way, though.
Yeah. I think that the poor starving artist is a reality. It's almost like the poor righteous teacher.
Yeah.
You understand me? That if you're going to help your people, educate your people, be a messiah, then you got to be poor at the same time. That's connected to the morality of it. And then the lifestyle of the artist, to be an authentic, real artist, is to not have money.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Well, who came up with that?
Somebody that wanted people to be broke.
It's mind control.
Wasn't a man that had money.
Yeah, because they won't tell you that if you go to an accelerator, that you should be a poor, righteous startup founder.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to get money and then elevate or sell it, and then you can live your life.
Well, talking about money, I think is probably one of the bigger issues that we have than anything. Because when you talk about negotiating around money, leverage, and things of that nature, like you can go in there understanding your value in a way mm-hmm. to where if you have such a solid plan, you can communicate what your business is going to be and what you believe is going to produce, projected, right?
Yeah.
But talking about money is the last conversation people want to have.
It should be one of the first.
Why are we so afraid of numbers?
We were trained not to talk about it because we didn't have a lot of it. Anything that a guy does not have, they don't want to speak about it a lot.
Mm.
So we have to break that norm.
Mm.
Even in the job market now, we're in another recession right now. They just haven't said it yet.
We'll talk about that
a
little bit.
We haven't recovered the jobs from 07, 08.
Mm.
Now we're entering another one. If you don't put the ability to make money on demand at the top of your list, you are prey for someone else. Mm. Between inflation, like India, inflation.
I gotta put my gloves back on.
I'm just saying, like, was already at 14%. Brazil, inflation's real high. In America, we said it would never get that high, and then inflation took off. That's the number one reason you have to invest and build a business, because things are always gonna cost more. Mm. And if you hope, the only person hope ever worked for was Obama. That's not a viable strategy. Like, I hate, and I know in the comments, I'm like, yo, he's angry. And telling you.
Put the energy up.
The absolute fucking truth. If you don't invest, someone is gonna have control over you. And as talented as we are, I think it's crazy for an artist to put 100,000 behind a song, and then the music industry lets a tech company say, hey, and I love Steve Jobs. They hated Sean Parker, but accepted the same plan from Steve Jobs, and now you can sell a single for 99 cents. Now a stream is worth 1/9 of a penny. They won't even tell you the real number. Mm. But if we team together and build, like, why hasn't...
But how much is that stream really worth, the reality of it? Because stream is attention, right? When somebody, they loop in that song.
But they find a way to devalue our art and make everyone else's more valuable.
Right.
So if we go to Bored 8, no slight to them. But how is their art worth 1 million times more than anything Ross, Jeezy, T.I., Lil Baby has ever made? It's
because
impossible.
All of those rappers, gay and so,
signed
the greatest
their rights
rappers,
away.
Soccer players, football players, artists, entertainers, politicians, yep. CEOs, black collectively for free gave them the biggest endorsement and investment
absolutely.
That they've ever gave anybody else for free.
Absolutely.
They've never, that has never been done.
And I'm
gonna
be real,
in
had I
history,
came out with one of those paintings and sold that shit for 500,000, y'all be like, man, he full of shit, he a scam artist.
That is, listen, so, you know, like a lot of people come to me on the back end, right? Yeah. Consultations, yeah. You know what I mean? Want to pay me $50,000, $100,000, teach them this game.
Yeah.
When I look at their wallet and what they own, it's an ape. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's almost 100% of the time, it's never a project.
I'm not mad
that's
at that
because
they carved
person.
Out a niche.
No, they killing the game.
Absolutely.
But I want us to see ourselves for a second, though.
Yeah.
I want you to see yourself in the fact that every single rapper will completely and freely, you understand me, like Gunna got it tattooed on him, will completely and freely endorse and give money and invest in it freely. This is how they got there. Twitter, how I got hot, black people.
Yeah.
Facebook, how I got hot, black
Instagram.
People. Once we get into anything yeah. and we collectively give you an endorsement,
yeah.
go look at Gary Vee, how you get hot, black people. You understand me? Go look at Grant Cardone, how you get hot, black people.
Yeah.
When and it's not to say they ain't have money and whatever they have, but once yeah. you get an invitation into the culture,
yeah.
and we give you that endorsement and we will proudly portray you and put you on our platform mm-hmm. and our music or whatever, you are now rotating in the minds of all black people across the planet Earth.
But if we don't charge for that or don't have equity in that, and people get mad, I'm like, I want you to endorse this. I'm like, if I don't own it, I'm not gonna push it.
Yeah, 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 I'm cool with
like,
that.
Like, for what? Yeah. I don't need another look. I don't need more work.
Yeah.
I want more time with my kid. I'm good. Like, every person should think like that.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It's two. If I'm not getting a royalty in perpetuity or equity, why would I push it? That's prostitution.
It don't make sense. It don't make no sense.
It's prostitution. But only they allow our culture to do that.
But that's what happens. And now the, so like, I think that Bored 8 was like a great case study, and it's an evolving case study in reality. And don't get me wrong, I make money off that. I make some money off the Acorn today.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? By the time, I don't know what it's going to be at by the time they see this, but
yeah.
today I made some money, that's for yeah. sure. You understand me? And I'm gonna sell it over the top.
The truth is our culture don't like any assets that is not predominantly owned by white people because it has considerably more value than if somebody black owned it. Let's keep it real.
That's a fact. Even projects out there, there's NFT projects that are successful. There's a black face, but in the back end, it's all white team.
Yeah.
It's a whole white team.
That's what's needed.
Right? It is what it is.
Because the trust is higher there than it is with us.
That's a fact. But you see what I put out, you know what I mean? I had to intentionally talk to us.
Yeah.
Because let's talk about us for a second. I want to get into the recession and tech and everything, but let's talk about us as a culture and our peers and the way we move. We don't have enough appreciation for each other to work together.
Mm-hmm.
We think we do. We might say it. We might get some flowers. We might do this, that, and the third. But if we truly appreciate it, and we know how much it takes to be in the position that we at. Yes. We know how much it takes to intellectually be in the position that we at.
Yeah.
But the appreciation is still not there. You understand me? Like, it's like if I'm going to, let's say if I'm announcing Jay-Z. Well, no, Jay-Z is a bad example because you go announce Jay-Z, how Jay-Z supposed to be announced, right? Mm-hmm. But let's just say I'm announcing a rapper or somebody, right, at my event.
Yeah.
I'm pulling out the grandest stops, fireworks, the whole nine. Yeah. You understand? Because I want people to understand how important it is that this guest is here at this time and the value of their immense presence is.
Yeah.
Then I get to my bro, Ian. Man, what's up, my bro? E. Dunlap here. You know what I'm saying? Just got the mic. I introduce you. Nothing over the top, nothing crazy. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
What does it say to the audience that just watched that? This person has considerably way more value than this person.
Yeah.
But why? So there's no way possible. There's not a single rapper that's going to get on that stage. Entertainer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just point out rappers because I love rap.
Yeah, I love y'all.
You know, there's not a single entertainer that's going to get out on that stage and going to proceed to give more value than I will impactfully once those people leave.
Yeah.
You understand me? So once you start to get people to properly evaluate true value, the scales change. Because you stop even wanting entertainers to show up as the true value. Instead, the brother just gave you the game on the future of money and technology and stocks and wealth generation.
We need our own media.
That's the most valuable.
One of the most important pillars that we need is media. We don't have enough media without competition to help uplift each other.
But that competition part is strange because we not eat, like people talk about market share. I can't take no market share from you because at the end of the day, it's 7 billion people on
you
the
can
planet.
Only multiply it by working together.
Why are we going after the same people?
Yeah.
Like if you want to think of yourself as like, for me, ain't nobody can compete with me. I'm 19 keys. I'm a state that, and I am me because the lane that I carry, you understand
nobody
me?
Nobody can occupy.
It is what it is. But when we start thinking about it in the financial education space, then people start thinking these things overlap. But there's a million Asians and Indians and Mexicans and white boys and white women and things of that nature teaching, and we never look at them as competition.
That's true.
Never. Not one time we go blink over in their direction and be like, I need to take your customers. And they got more than you do.
Yeah.
These people
true.
They got a operation with 100,000 people and you trying to compete with bro who got 4,000.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you lose.
That's an inferiority complex. Because all of us that are great want to work together.
Absolutely.
Even with educated people like you're educated, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm the best at investing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here to, people may not even like how I teach, but I'm like, put yes in chat if I made you money.
Yeah.
Even with that being my calling card, I don't know anybody that every time they say it, they're like, yeah, he's made me money. It's rare, excluding, like, Kramer was on fire in 07. But that's why I tell you media is not the most important thing. He went from having two segments and a show on CNBC in 07, 08 to now being on 14 segments a day and having a show. What time can he get to research? So if you don't own media, if you're not the executive, and your talent, they can work you so much that your talent is no longer good enough.
That's a fact.
And let's be real. Most people who watch CNBC prior to 2013 or 2015 associated him with the platform. I now love everybody there. And it was when I talked to Josh, Bono, and who are great there now, they limit the number of segments that they do because you still have to do the work. But they're not valuing each other properly. I think that just comes from miseducation. And to be honest, it's the first time at scale that you've seen black men have impact over the market. It's new.
Yeah. But we got to be able to control the missile and the laser of our impact. Because we can, let's be honest, from the standpoint of the impact we have, we're still impacting everybody else's family more than we impact on our own.
Absolutely.
Like, once you, like, even if I don't have an NFT platform, if I don't have my own crypto marketplace, I'm sending hundreds of thousands of people to go in and pour their money onto someone else's platform.
Yeah.
So to Coinbase, to Robinhood, to Trust Executive, all of these different, I'm making them millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm literally an affiliate marketer for them and not getting paid a cent.
Yep.
You understand me? So that's why when I do interviews, I never mention a name. I did Breakfast Club. I ain't mention nobody's name. Why would I?
Right,
they not one of them told me before you go up there, I'm gonna give you $1 million if you just mention the name.
Yeah.
Why would I do that then?
Yeah.
I know the value that I have. Mm-hmm. And if I know the value, then I know the value you have.
Yeah.
So I can say, and I've done this,
right,
multiple times, where I bring black men together and be like, yo, you doing this how much? You doing that how much? Well, you know, if we put this together.
Why hasn't that happened yet? Because you know I've been there. I'm like, yo, let's get that started ASAP.
So, two parts. So I did it before. It failed because I was working with the wrong people, right? Mm-hmm. You work with the wrong people, even if it's the right idea, it will fail.
Yeah.
Now, I think all of us are a little more cautious. I think all of us have had business situations. We have up and downs. We've had turmoil. Yeah. So now you get the round table and you say, listen, I know where you at.
Yeah.
I keep a mental file on everybody so that when I speak to them, I'm speaking to them with an updated mindset on who they are based on their current evaluation, not from what I thought their value was. Mm-hmm. But if you don't stay up to date on people, you can disrespect them by talking to them based on their old self.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like when I talk, like I have regular conversations with you, with Trav, with Ian. I talk to him. I talk to whoever, right?
Yeah.
Because in most time we won't have no business together, and it's just a conversation to speak and stay updated on each other and check on each other and things of that nature, which is solid. But then me, I'm always like, yo, this thing is coming. We can make a billion off this.
Easily.
And with that billion, we can be more impactful than we ever were.
Yeah.
Right? But when we get caught up in what we're already doing, we still are not a people that are futurists, that are ahead of the curve, and that are early adopters and innovators of things in a matter to where we can get the most value out of it.
Yeah.
So it's like when we did the interview on Market Mondays about NFTs, during that time, I'm talking to people about, yo, like, we should do something together.
Yeah.
This can be big, right? So when I see the apes do it, I'm not mad at them because they execute it properly based on a new space and a new technology and the opportunity that existed.
Yeah.
Right? Cool. Now what we gonna do?
Yeah.
So, you know, I can say this on camera, because I've talked to EYL.
Yeah.
100% in.
Yeah.
100% in.
Yeah.
Right? And I ain't gonna say everybody else's name just because
you know, I've been ready.
Ian is 100% in.
Yeah.
He ready to do that with the culture. I talked to Trap. Trap said he in. Everything good, we in.
Yeah.
You understand me? I even talked to him in the circle of CEOs. They said, hey, yeah, we got to just structure this thing.
Yeah.
And I sat down with one of my scientists yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We put some structure together, man.
Okay.
You feel me? And I think it makes the most sense because the people want it bad. Not only do the people want it, and I only try to do what the people want.
Yeah.
If I put it out there, the people are like, yo, unanimously, we want this. Yeah. I don't see no negativity. Everybody's like, yo, let's get it. We can make it happen.
Yeah.
Right? And one idea was like, let's build this in front of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the votes from the people on what direction, how they want
to go.
So we build it in a manner that they want to see happen.
Yeah.
Because there's no other place on the planet Earth you're going to find the type of black men that are our peers and black women that are our peers that have the power, position, knowledge, and equity that we have that we can leverage to build something of that's dynamic with our communities.
Yeah.
Like,
that's powerful.
The people that done built these projects that we see $1 billion market caps, some of them weren't even millionaires before they started.
Yeah.
Some of them had just quit their white collar job.
Yeah.
Some of them had no platform.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. But that's the power of executing. The one thing, if you take away, are you doing enough every day to guarantee success? And people get mad. Like, I'm real big on punctuality, getting a certain amount of, like, if you're not getting at least, like, 50 things done per day, you have no shot. Because look how quickly they built that brand. Even when I was talking to Gary, V and LA at Super Bowl, he was like, they had Gunna first.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him make $95 million off V Friends, 30-day period, I'm like, it's powerful, but if we team together, could we do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I haven't told this story, but I remember when, you know, NFT was really popping off, just first started popping off. I was talking with Jay Electronica.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was supposed to do, or I was supposed to assist in helping Jay Elec and Jay-Z, because yeah. they was dropping their album at the time.
Yeah.
You understand me? Do a project. Because Jay Electronica, funny enough, the first person I see have a Discord. You understand
really?
Me? Yes. He had a Discord for a long time.
Wow, okay.
Thousands of people. He'd be freestyling people in there the whole nine. But he does it because, you know, he has a very eclectic sense of character. He just likes to be connected to his people. Right.
Which is a big lesson they need to take away.
Yeah,
like, community is everything.
Like, Jay Electronica was able to have a whole entire career off one song, essentially, mm-hmm. until this album came out.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had, you know, multiple songs that, you know, if you know, you know, you tapped in. But, so, you know, we had some discussions that never ended up becoming fruitful, but it gave me an insight on the music business. You understand me? Because the way I was breaking down, because I want to see him get his just due based on his talent. Mm. Because there's only one Jay Electronica in the industry.
Yeah.
Right? And the industry can't change unless there's more or people like him get empowered.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's going to intentionally be shadow banned, if you will, because of, you know, his content mm-hmm. and what he speaks about. Because he's going to speak truth.
Yeah.
Right? And so I remember one night, though, I don't know if he'll be mad if I tell this story, though. He asked me to be his manager, right?
Yeah.
You understand me? Because, you know, I feel like Jay Electronica really has the ability to shift the entire culture of hip-hop and music if the proper machine, and he allows the proper machine behind him, because I think a lot of things for Jay is Jay, right?
Yeah.
And I love the brother to death, but that's why I'm speaking on it publicly, because I want to see that rise happen, mm-hmm. right? And I think that Web3 would allow his type of talent mm-hmm. to rise.
Does he want to see that rise happen, though? Because I feel like a lot of times we try and push people who don't want the greatness out of them that we see inside of them.
Well, what happened when he dropped this, when he finally dropped the album, it was the exact time the pandemic started.
Mm.
So, you know, timing just happened to be timing.
Yeah.
Right? When the moment you drop, I remember texting them, like, you know, I text quarantine team, because I'm like, yo, this is about to be a quarantine album. Like, literally, we about to go on quarantine.
Yeah.
Right? 40 days and 40 nights. But I'm like, no, that shit about to be, I seen this going to be a couple years. But I'm like, damn, the moment that you drop the album, something else impactful happens in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And the last time Jay-Z, you know, it was 19 years from 9/11 when Jay-Z and Nas was having their feud.
Mm.
You understand me? And I'm like, yo, now this time when Jay-Z is dropping a collaborative album with somebody for the first time of this magnitude, you understand me? And instead of going at another black man, he's collaborating with the black man with a very positive spirit, energy, and message.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of observing that whole thing. But it's like, imagine if that album dropped and the world was open. It would have had a different impact, different touring, different merch, different everything.
Yeah.
So I don't think it wasn't the fact that he wasn't ready. I think he was completely ready. I think out of all of the points in time in his career was the time that he was ready.
Yeah.
But we got hit with a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, even when new financial products come up, that's a signal for a recession, too, because Bitcoin was created in the last recession. So now, seeing all of these products pop up really quick, they were telling you ahead of time that something was gonna come. But yeah, we gotta get that project in the way, because we talked about it 3 or 4 times. I don't want it to be one of those things where it's like, in 3 months, we should have done it. Even when you came on Market Mondays the first time and you was telling everyone about NFTs and crypto, shit took off, and I'm like,
we can't explain our impact, because I can't tell you the amount of people that got into NFTs and crypto directly because of me or that interview or something other, some other thing. Like, just about everybody that's not everybody, but a large majority percentage of people that's speaking on it now, they got directly from that.
Yeah.
You understand? Gave them the game. They don't always want to give it up 90% of the time.
99% of the time.
99% of the time, yeah. They don't want to give it up at all. But, yeah. You know, the godfather of this. But that's always been my role, though, is to, you know, sound the trumpet.
Do you feel underappreciated as well?
Because
you've helped influence, impact a lot of people, but I don't always see. That's why I always told you whenever we talked, I'm like, you're the greatest out of all us. Because you were so used to holding back. I'm like, go crazy. And you have to hold back to make people comfortable. I'm like, man, let that fucking light beam tear everything down.
No, and I appreciate you for that, because most people, they're afraid of that. But you know, I appreciate myself so much that I don't feel unappreciated. I think that, like everybody that's human, you got moments where it's like, I know my value is more than this, that, and the third, but that only happens when you start comparing. You understand me? Comparison depreciates you at that moment. You understand me? Like, the moment I compare myself to anybody, they blessings, they looks, anything they have, I'm already depreciating myself.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, as you ask me that question in this moment, it's like, nah, I appreciate the hell out of myself.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the moment I seek that validation outside, I feel depreciated.
Yeah.
You understand me? But then once I start thinking about it, like, bro, I get so much love and energy everywhere I go across the planet Earth.
Yeah.
When I say across the planet Earth, like whether I'm in Egypt, whether I'm in Africa, whether I'm in Mexico, there's no place on the planet that I don't go and somebody give me a testimony on how to change their life.
That's real.
How could I not feel appreciated? Yeah. Do I feel valued at what my value is? Nah, that's different.
Well, what's your value?
Oh, man.
Come on, the real number. Tell me, let's talk.
Hey, man.
Come on now.
You know what I'm talking about? Talk to me then. So it depends on what the situation is, but as a thought leader, you understand me? I have one of the most valuable minds in the world, right? Perspective, futurism, innovation, creativity. Like, for my platform, like, I started off doing everything myself, right? Like, I design, whatever you see, I design, right? Yeah. Like, I produce, I create the business plan. I have multiple businesses, right? Mm-hmm. On the back end, I just don't even always talk about
it. Talk about it, yeah.
Right? I do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I design, I do art. Shit, spoken word, I freestyle, like, I'ma design the captions, I'ma design the style, the aesthetics, I'ma put it all together, I'ma have
listen
a full vision with talent.
Listen to everything that
talent.
He said he creates, you have to be free.
Then the research, the investigation, everything that has to happen, navigating, going in certain rooms, having conversations, pulling out information, bringing it back to the culture, deciphering. Yeah. It's a lot that goes into the encompassing of what you see as an N, what you see as EYL, what you see as, you know,
I think it's just partying and recording.
Anybody.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot that goes into it. So it's hard to say what that value is. You understand me? But I know it's a billion. Mm-hmm. You understand me? But it's infinitely valuable. But it's like, if somebody asked me to do a consultation with them, it's like, bro, like, unfortunately, when it comes to us, a lot of people that look like me can't afford me. If I give them my true value.
Yeah.
So it's like when it comes to working with our people, we always have to discount our value. And what that does is it creates a disconnect between what our true value is, right? And what our serving value is.
Yeah.
Because the value that we discount ourselves to serve is different than the actual value that we have.
Yeah.
So I know that completely.
So it's like,
people reach out and I say no to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, majority.
Because it's like, I'm not gonna just keep discounting my value, right? And so my negotiation has gotten different now, where it's like, I would rather say completely no, or I'm gonna find a way to leverage that to where I feel like I'm getting the value and you are too.
Yeah.
But I think that we are in a very high inflationary period. So what do? You raise your prices, right? Like, it costs more now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I came in this game saying that I would do it myself rather than allow somebody to depreciate me, because I knew from the get-go they would not understand the value.
Yeah.
If I charged somebody, let's say a year ago, and somebody was, and I said, listen, I'm gonna charge you $100,000 for an NFT consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Person looked at me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? But it would have been worth it.
Yeah.
I'd have gave you a whole blueprint, and if you would have implemented that into your business.
Yeah.
That could have been worth $100 million, could have been worth $1 million, could have been worth $1 billion, who knows? So it's like, even today, if I'm talking to a celebrity, I'm talking to somebody on the back end, it's like, I don't want to have a conversation unless it's about the value first. Then we had a conversation second. Otherwise, I have to figure out a way to leverage you in a manner to where I can get this value out the situation.
Yeah.
And if there's no leverage, then I'm just being nice.
Yeah.
And I'm not stupid to be nice.
Yeah.
You understand me? Unless I see something that you want to do for the community that's impactful, and then I'll give you the serving value to where I would do this for free.
What do you say to the people that say you shouldn't charge people in the culture a lot?
I would say,
I'll give my take too. But
first of all, I don't know what the culture is means to them. Because a lot of people use the culture, you understand me, when they want to manipulate you.
Absolutely.
Like, culture is one of the most manipulating words to black people when you want to get them to discount their services.
Yeah.
Right? When you value something, you pay the price.
Yep.
You only have the discount when people don't understand the true value.
Yeah.
You understand me? If I go back to Infinite Wealth Strategies day one, I have a student, Jared Ross, came in there, $500. He now has a portfolio that's worth six figures, mm-hmm. right? He has his own course, community, and he's published a book by now, right? He fired his job and he dropped out of college.
Yeah.
And he is now has a completely new career path and life that he is living based on the Web3 opportunities, right? I have multiple students that same thing, like duplicated over and over and over. I have people that they was in the BWO, learning futures and stocks and crypto and setting up their trust and insurance and a multitude of other different things. I go back to New America, pandemic pack that I came out with, where I was teaching people about the future, mobilization, automation, digitization. Each, every time if somebody listened and they executed.
Yep, if they executed.
If they executed is always the key.
Yeah.
That's $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, when I say $1 million, I'm not shying away from that. That's $1 million worth of game, literally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and to the point where it's almost step by step.
Yeah.
Because when I used to do things, I just tell people, when it's something new, I tell them exactly what I'm about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that so you can copy the exact blueprint.
Of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Like, I'm not shying away from no knowledge. I'm saying, listen, I'm about to do this. This is what's happening in this space.
Yeah.
This is what you should do as well.
Yeah.
You understand?
Why do you think people are afraid to execute or don't listen?
But I want to answer your question directly first. I think that it's 100% okay to charge for your value in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of people in the culture that can't afford it.
Yeah.
And once you get a target of something that is out of your current budget,
mm-hmm.
you now have a target for what you should put your energy towards.
Yeah.
If I got $100 and something is $1,000, what happens to a person is they gonna say, oh man, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
So they gonna take that $100 and spend it on some bullshit.
Yeah.
Instead of saying that, okay, I got this $100, how long will it take for me to get this $1,000?
Yeah.
The reason I wanted to buy that is because that's gonna be an investment that's gonna give me a return. So if I'm disciplined and I focus and I put my energy towards being able to afford that, when an opportunity comes, I will take it. Then I will not be shying away from opportunities that cost $1,000.
Yeah.
Right? Because now you're going to be able to afford higher level opportunities.
Yeah.
The mindset of wealth is to not shy away from things.
Yeah.
It's to find ways to afford them.
Yeah.
But we our sticker psychology and our number psychology is all messed up.
Yeah.
If I show you 100, anybody see 100, I don't care if you broke, poor, whatever, you have no reaction to the word 100, the numbers 100.
Yeah.
If I put a dollar sign in front of that, and now you're going to look at it, if you broke, you're going to be repulsed by that.
Yeah.
Right? If you got money, it has no feeling to you, whatever. Yeah. Right? You can do whatever you want to. But that dollar sign psychology has a power over people.
Yeah.
Right? That the moment that they see that, they're either attracted to it or they're repulsed by it. It has a magnetic energy.
Yeah.
And the power is to decrease the emotional power that money has over you and dollar signs have over you.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's like when you walk into a place or you look at something, you're not looking for those numbers to have an emotional reaction. You're saying that this is my value. I'm a human being with a mind. I can afford anything I want to.
Yeah.
It just depends on how bad I want to.
Yeah.
So a broke mind will find excuses.
Yeah.
Right? A wealthy mind finds a way. So
that's a good point.
I'm not worried about who has an issue with the price. That just means they have an issue with their abilities as a human being to afford the things that they actually want and see value in.
Mm.
You understand me? And there's some people that's happy with a certain standard of living.
Absolutely.
You can't force those people to level up.
Yeah.
So you have conversations. If this is all of the people over here that have no problem with the prices, why am I down here having problems with these people?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I have conversations with them and then freely teach these people how they can afford what's up here?
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Yeah.
There's so much free that if you don't get that, and I'm talking about millions of dollars of free information yeah. that's out there that I personally put out.
Yeah.
If you haven't with that, then I don't even want to have a conversation with you.
With you, yeah.
Like, why is you in my DM trying to waste more of my time?
Yeah, because you've given it to him for free.
Yeah.
I'm 19 Keys, and this is high-level conversation. Tap in with the guys.
Peace family, 19 Keys tapping in with you. I want to tell you why you need to tap into the infinite wealth strategies. Number one, there's a lot of millionaires being brought every single day, right? The job market is devastated, you understand me? You can go to college, but it's better to get you a skill. I've had several six-figure days in the market trading, right? Cryptocurrency. And at the time, I had little knowledge, right? I've sold an NFT, which was just a digital picture rendering, for over $16,000. But why? Because I understood the market and I knew the value of it. I've sold thousands of books, you understand me, on my e-commerce platform, utilizing my strategies that I teach inside the Infinite Wealth Strategy. But I also have a beautiful community of people all around the world assisting, providing information, resources, and links, because I know that it's harder to learn by yourself, but it's better to learn in a community sense. When you join Infinite Wealth Strategies, you too can become a part of a community of people learning together and earning together. Make sure you tap in, because it's an education that you need in order to succeed and build wealth. Don't be on the outside. Tap in.
Infinite Wealth Strategies.